Welcome back, folks, to the Right Field Roundtable podcast, where we talk all things Alabama baseball. A lot to catch up on from last week from Alabama. A couple good wins, one loss, unfortunately, and we'll get to all of that. So to start off, let's talk about the first game of the week, Tuesday game against Jacksonville State for Alabama.
It was a good solid game. You know, we went to Jacksonville State, came out with the win pretty easily. We all expect it, you know, got two guys in, got to see some experience. It was just a normal Alabama baseball game. The Wednesday game is kind of the one I want to talk about a little bit more. You know, we weren't expecting that. So, but we'll finish off our thoughts on the Tuesday game. Austin, what'd you think?
Sure, guys. I think it was really good. I always like to see a good in-state game. For us to, you know, play the Gamecocks, travel on the road. Sure, you get a good road game in the state. Just a really good in-week win for us. You know, just really get some of those guys in the rotation and get some experience going.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You know, obviously we had the bats again, hit a couple homers in this game, which is always good to see. Like Cooper said last week, we're going to hit the long ball. We're going to hit it well. So it was good to see, you know, Peyton Wilson and Sam Prater get two deep shots to kind of propel the Tide to the win. But I do agree with Cooper. I do want to kind of move on to that UT Martin game. And I'll let Cooper take the lead here because he seemed a little bit fired up about it. So UT Martin on Wednesday.
Yeah, it was just crazy. You know, that's one of the games you're going to win. And I know you can't win them all. It's baseball. No one's really going to go undefeated in the regular season. You're going to drop one here or there, as we're seeing with some of these SEC teams that we clowned last podcast. Mm-hmm. But I think the UT Martin game was a winnable game. You know, we were at home. You know, we were feeling comfortable. You know, they had to come down to Tuscaloosa. We didn't have to go up to Martin, Tennessee. It's just a game we should have won. You know, I don't know. What would y'all think about it?
Austin, you can start this off.
For sure, guys. I mean, I think, you know, for us to come out, we came out kind of high. I mean, you know, scoring three runs in the fourth. I mean, you know, to get that lead and then have it chipped away towards the end. You know, we got off to a decent start, and really UTM just kind of came in and took it from us at the end, just played a little bit better in those late innings. And that was the deciding factor in the game.
Yeah, listen, I think what you saw starting on Wednesday and then kind of following into the rest of the week is we have some bullpen issues a little bit. There's a couple guys that are really, really good for our bullpen. And there's a couple guys that aren't quite there yet. And then there's a bunch in the middle. And I don't think it's a problem of the talent. I think it's more so how we use them. And I'll explain. So Chase Lee came in, I believe, early in the doubleheader on Saturday. Or the last two innings of the doubleheader on Saturday, which is great. But, you know, we had a couple guys in there throwing that didn't give up any runs in between the 7th and the 11th. I understand pitch count, but in a doubleheader like that, and, you know, you have Dylan pitching the second doubleheader, which, to give Dylan credit, he pitched very well. You know, you don't have Chase to come in and finish that game. So for me, I get it because we needed to win it, but I think the management of our bullpen right now is a little iffy, and I think we need to get that on track, and that's kind of why we lost the UT Martin game.
Definitely. That bullpen has got some question marks around it. I'm not going to say it's bad yet, but definitely 5 runs in the 8th and 9th innings combined. That's something we got to fix, and, you know, a high-scoring game is fun. But you need to be able to win those low-scoring games, and part of that is having your bullpen being able to shut guys down and not allow runs in those late innings, which, aside from game 2 of the doubleheader, we haven't really seen from this Alabama team yet.
For sure, guys, and just I'll speak on the game on Friday night. I thought that we had a good showing from Brock Guffey. I mean, I really thought he had some stuff on the mound. I really projected some confidence out there, you know. I'd like to see some guys get up there and step up in those big moments like that. You know, that's what we didn't see in that first game on Saturday. And, you know, just really, I mean, like y'all are both saying, making good points of it really kind of comes down to the situation those players are getting put in and what they can make out of it. You know, when these guys are coming in with so many runners on, you know, getting put in these bad situations, so it's more difficult than if the guys before them could step up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I agree with you. Brock Guffey did come in and pitch a good game. You know, our starters are looking really good right now. As you can see, Tyler Reyes, 6 innings pitched on Friday, 1 hit, 1 run, and 5 strikeouts. You know, Guffey also had 5 strikeouts, which is awesome. Shifting over to the Saturday game, the first Saturday game, you know, one thing I was surprised, we didn't have Prelip at all this weekend. However, I did like the combination of Antoine John. He pitched extremely well, I thought. He did give up 4 runs, but, you know, we did have a lot of errors in the field in that first game of the doubleheader, which was difficult because a lot of those errors came from seasoned veterans on our team like Owen Diodati. And that's why this game was so close. It shouldn't have gone to 11. It shouldn't have honestly got to 7-7. It shouldn't have been an 8-7 game. Probably should have been a 5-2, 5-4 game. But like I said, litany of errors and some late game heroics by, you know, the whole crew. You know, being at this game, I was somewhat upset with the outcome. Obviously great about the win, but this game was just a weird one to me. Kind of one of those games that shakes your confidence about a team a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. And I get it was weird, you know, it's Wright State. You know, we shouldn't really be going to extras, let alone 2 extra innings to win this game. But like you said, litany of errors. Some questions around the bullpen again is all I'm going to say about this game, but bats came through. So that's the one good thing. The bad thing is sometimes the bats might not always come through. And it's Wednesday, you know, especially in those late game situations.
Yeah,
for sure, Cooper. And I think, you know, going in of it is Wright State and we don't want to be put in the situations, but kind of to your point of, when you get stuck there and we need guys to step up and be clutch, we got that out of them this weekend. So, you know, while it wasn't great to see us in those positions, it was good to see guys that could step up and get us out of specifically that extra inning game on Saturday. And just to really see, you know, moving forward, can we improve on defense? Can we improve in fielding and how we can get better to not get in the situations? But just overall, you know, great to see those guys coming in clutch with some hits.
Yeah. And conversely, on the other side of that, what made it so interesting, we've mentioned it, is the doubleheader. You know, there were a litany of errors, and this was kind of a struggle win for Alabama, but Bo was pulling guys as early as the 4th, 5th inning to make sure that they were ready for the second game. Dio got pulled for a pinch runner in the 7th in a big spot, down 2. I thought that was interesting. Andrew Pinicky came in for TJ Reeves in the 4th. I don't know if that's just because TJ's a little limited off the injury or whatnot. You know, Prater comes out of the game late. There were some weird switches where I understood we were I get the position goes in where, you know, you're down 7-5 in the 7th inning and you kind of make the decision like, hey, does this game matter or do I want to save and try to win the last game of the series and take the series? I just thought it was interesting the way he did it so early. Just because if you win the first game, who cares about a 7 inning second game of a doubleheader? You won the series. So that was interesting to me and probably led to why it was so close as well. William Hameter, oh my goodness, that kid was taking hit after hit after hit. And he fell on the bases. He smashed his head off the wall trying to catch a pop fly. He ran into TJ Reeves on one of the pop flies. I mean, like, he made all these plays, but, man, that kid was getting beat up. They had that delay. He came up kind of lame on a slide into third. Man, that kid was – and he ends up hitting the wall in the walk-off single. Yeah. So, good for him. Good for the team. you know, in kind of a weird weekend.
For sure, Brandon. I want to touch on something that you kind of talked about last week on the podcast. We talked about it in the DH position and some of the substitutes that we have available in the outfield. I think it's going to be really interesting of what Coach Bo puts in when we get into the stretch and the SEC play on how these substitutes are going to work in through these big games.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. It's definitely going to be interesting. But again, I think what we're seeing now in baseball, and we've seen in pretty much every college sport, at least this year, is, you know, COVID has a big effect. You're seeing huge blue bloods in basketball go down because they're relying on freshman players who haven't been able to get the time of day in the gym with the correct people. And that's why you're seeing these teams grow. You know, you saw football powerhouses go completely haywire. You know, that I think that's what you're seeing now. And I think that's what's important about this year is teams need to use this time now to figure out rotations, who's legit or not on as little strategy as possible, and who's got the most talent. Because at this point in most of the sports this year, it's talent that wins championships, and that's simply it. Because no one has time to practice anymore, or the resources, or the health clearance. So I think you're right. I think it's going to be interesting, and I think that's what's going to be important to this team's success going forward.
For sure, and I think a positive coming out of that game one on Saturday. So we had 13 players with at-bats. You know, really just to be able to get some guys on the field, and while, you know, we can debate on if it was questionable calls or not for the outcome, but just to really have – a lot of guys getting on the field and getting at bats.
Yeah, you're absolutely right with that. It's good to see people get in, and that's what we need in these games, because when you are in Nashville at 7 p.m., you are not experimenting with the rotation. So it's good to see that not only are we working through that, but winning games while doing it. So I think you're right. You know, although we might be disappointed with the outcome, it's a really good weekend.
Yeah. Just one note on the second game of the doubleheader. Dylan Smith, fantastic performance as a starting pitcher. Like, I'm starting to really like him as a Sunday guy to come out and close these series and almost get that sweeping win. So he just had a really, really good performance. And I can't wait to see what he does for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on that, Cooper. But like we said, senior leadership, veterans, talent, going to help. Dylan is all of that and more. So I think I 100% agree with you. I think he's a great Sunday guy to close out the series, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, guys, got to love Dylan Smith. And then also, if you see, he struck out 7 batters in the game on Sunday.
Yeah, that was huge. That was, you know, I really did like our pitching this week. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, there were obviously the bullpen mishaps, but like I said, you know, Chase Lee comes in. He has a couple big strikeouts. I believe he started the 10th inning, and he struck out 3 people in the 10th inning. It wasn't back-to-back. I think he walked the guy, but 3 strikeouts in an inning. And, you know, Jacob McNary, I'm more so just talking about the guys who pitched when I was there, but he also threw a great game and had some big, big strikeouts late, especially in the 9th inning to get us to the bottom of the 9th with 1st and 3rd, 2 outs. He had a big strikeout there. So I think it's there. I think we all see that the talent's there. We're just working through things. And like we said, it's great to get a win. So with that is part one of the podcast, and you know, all the games that have happened in the past week. When we come back, we're gonna look ahead to see what's next for the Crimson Tide in this upcoming week. So stick around.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Welcome back to the Right Field Roundtable podcast. We are looking ahead to the next week ahead for Alabama baseball, starting off in one of the better venues in Alabama for a baseball game, Alabama UAB in Birmingham at Regents Field. Just if you know about the history of Birmingham and you know about the history of Regents Field, obviously it's the new field, but the history that surrounds that area and the name, this is a really cool game for Alabama. Really cool.
Definitely. Definitely. You know, it's a classic matchup between two baseball teams here in the state of Alabama. Perfect setting for a game Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. Wish I could go there, but that's a little too far of a drive on a school night, but wish I could be one of the COVID fans to go there.
For sure, guys. And, you know, I'm loving this trend. We're getting all of the in-state schools basically in. So we've got, you know, Jacksonville State this past week. We've got UAB and Troy this week playing UAB in Birmingham. You know, it's going to be a great game. Actually, so if you look back, UAB has actually played Troy earlier this season. They lost 3-10. So I think UAB is going to be a decent game for us, but, you know, looking forward to that Wednesday game against the Troy Trojans for sure.
Yeah, so before we get ahead to the Troy Trojans, let's get some predictions here for a beautiful night game in Regents Field. Cooper, you want to go ahead?
I think this this one could be a winnable game, but still questions around the bullpen. If we're going to be getting some young guys in there, I'll go 7-4.
Okay, nice. You know, I think I agree with Cooper for sure. I think this is definitely going to be a good test for us, you know, but I think we can definitely come out on top of it. I'm going to say 4-2 Alabama.
Yeah, I really like both of those scores. I think that, you know, Alabama's bats are going to be there and the pitching might get interesting, but like you said, with UAB losing to Troy, there's really not going to be much, I don't think, from the UAB side. So I'm going to go 5-1 Alabama. So let's move to the next game. Austin kind of mentions it already as another in-state baseball matchup, which I 100% love as well. Troy is traveling to Tuscaloosa to play the Crimson Tide on Wednesday. That is a 3 p.m. game. What are you guys' thoughts on Troy?
I think, like last week, this might be a losable game. I didn't think that last week about the Wednesday game, but seeing what kind of happened, what can happen to this team, I can see us kind of dropping the Wednesday game, which I hate to say. You know, you want to see your team go undefeated, and we already have one loss, so we want to have a one-loss team. But, you know, it's a 3 o'clock game on a Wednesday afternoon. Guys are tired. Guys have classes. You played a full game against UAB the night before. I think we might drop this game, honestly. I'd love a win, but if we were to lose one game this next week, that would be the one.
For sure. And guys, this is definitely a game I love to see personally. You know, grew up Alabama, born and raised about 30 minutes from Troy University. So, you know, they have a lot better history than people give them credit for, I think, of baseball. You know, the history of being ranked down in the bottom of the top 25 every now and then. And a good program down there, really. And guys, if you look, they can swing the bat this year. I mean, there is multiple games when they put up 7, 8, 9 runs. So I think this might be a game that's going to surprise us. I think Troy definitely has a chance to get in there. And with our pitching situation that we've got going on right now, I think it's just kind of a recipe for a disaster with the hot bats coming in from Troy.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you guys. And it's not only going to be difficult to be playing a Troy team who is talented and is very capable as a baseball team, but, you know, you play a 6 p.m. 9-inning game in Birmingham, which goes at least 4 hours. So you're not getting home until midnight, 1 o'clock, if you're lucky. Like you said, class. And then you're right back on the field at 3 p.m. the next day. Listen, these guys are trained for that, but there is a lot of wear and tear with that. I can see us losing this game based on what both of you guys said. There's going to be a lot of fatigue, and Troy is a good baseball team. There's no doubt about that. So I'm not going to predict a loss, but I will put us on trap game alert.
I'll straight up and go ahead and predict a loss. If you want to score, I'll say 8-5 Troy. I would love to be wrong, but I'll say 8-5 Troy.
Wow. I'll give us the benefit of the doubt, Cooper. I'll flip you on that. I'll say 8-7 Alabama.
I'm going 7-6 Alabama in a 12-inning baseball game. This is going to be a dogfight.
All right. All right. I will point out that this will be their first game since Sunday. Troy. We will have played UAB the night before. So they got a nice rest period. So
that's true. That's true.
That's true.
All right. And then following up into the weekend series, we're actually playing a road weekend series this week. We are traveling to the wonderful city of Charleston, South Carolina to play the College of Charleston. First game of that will be March 5th, Friday at 5 p.m. What are we thinking about? College of Charleston.
I think this is a really interesting matchup for us to be on the road at. You know, normally we are the bigger school by a student population. I would even say talent-wise, we're just the bigger, better school, but we're going to Charleston. So that's kind of interesting. With that said, I'm going to predict a sweep here. I think we can take care of business in Charleston. It'll be a fun road trip for the guys, a fun bonding experience, and we'll just get it done. Knock it out. 1, 2, 3.
Pretty much agree all the way around, Cooper, but you know, there are definitely worse places to be for a weekend road series than Charleston in March. So I think we sweep this series for sure. You know, it is very interesting, like you stated. You know, we're traveling on in this game, you know, but I think it'll be good for us to get a road series in that's not going to be too much of a test to help us build on for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I agree with you guys there. It is interesting that we are playing this on the road, but like you said, you know, Charleston's a beautiful city. Not a bad place to have a couple ball games on the weekend during March. So I do predict a sweep as well. I think their boys are going to take care of business. I think this is going to be a good time to understand what we have from a talent perspective, understand how the bullpen's going to work, and really use this as not only a learning series, but also just as a nice little getaway for the team, especially if they happen to lose to Troy on Wednesday. So, Cooper, can we get a score prediction for the games?
Yeah, I'll fire them off right now. Game one, if Prelip's on the mound, I'll go ahead and say 5-0. I think we take care of business. Game two, you know, we get Tyler Rass out there or someone. I'll say 7-5. And then game three, you know, hopefully Dylan Smith will be out there again, and we'll go 8-3. There you go. There are my scores.
I like that.
All right. I'm going to go 6-1 on Friday. You know, I think kind of give them a benefit of the doubt, get one run in, catch us off guard on Friday night coming in. I'll say Saturday, I'm going to go 4-0. And then on Sunday, I really hope to see Dylan Smith back on the mound. I think he has a really good showing, and I'm really looking forward to that. I'm going to say 4-1 as well.
Yeah, I like both of your score predictions. I think Friday with Prelip, you name the number that the offense needs to get to. And whether that's 1 or 21, I don't think it matters with Prelip on the mound. I know it's early, and the reason I say this is because last year we were deprived of it. But I'm just waiting for the games where Prelip can go the entire time. Just go off and just let him go. Just let him go. Like, eighth inning, he hasn't given up a run, one hit. Yep, keep going. Does your arm hurt a little bit? We'll deal with it tomorrow. So, yeah, 7-0 on Friday. Saturday, I'm going to throw out another name that I mentioned. I like Antoine John again. I know he gave up a lot of runs, but he did show a lot of poise in that game and did end up throwing pretty well once he settled in. And like I said, obviously the errors this weekend. So I wouldn't mind Antoine John on either Saturday or Sunday, and then either a combination of Tyler Raz and Dylan Smith in the other slot. But Saturday, I'm going to go a close one, 3-1. And then Sunday, I think we take it home 6-0.
All right. All right, I will say their defense is not going to be as strong. I was looking at some of College of Charleston's previous games, and their most recent game, they had 4 errors and gave up 13 runs. 8 runs in one inning. Now, they did score 10. This was against USC Upstate. But 8 runs in one inning, you know.
That's tough.
So I think this will be an easy series for the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like you said, Charleston is just not looking great right now. But this is going to be a good, nice little road. Get yourself right series for the Crimson Tide, and we are excited to have it. So, with that being said, that is the week ahead. And we will be moving forward to part 3 of the podcast, where we will look around the SEC and see what's going on with baseball around there. So, when we return, we'll be talking SEC scores, stats, and probably talking trash about some other SEC schools. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back, folks, to the Right Field Roundtable podcast. We are talking all things that have happened in the SEC last week with college baseball, and we have quite a lot since we last recorded, so we'll start on Tuesday. Anything jump out to you, Cooper, on Tuesday?
Well, Tuesday, we saw something that would kind of be like a warning of what would happen on Wednesday. So I won't spoil what happened on Wednesday. But Tuesday, Auburn beat Alabama A&M 18-2 in 7 innings, which it's just crazy. But it doesn't compare to what they did to Alabama A&M on Wednesday. So this is a Alabama podcast. You know, we don't compliment Auburn too often anywhere on any of these podcasts here at 90.7 The Stones. But when you beat someone 8-2, I have to tip my hat to you. Congrats, Auburn. You've shown that you can beat up on the small teams. So congrats.
Come pick on someone your own size.
Yeah.
No, don't. Yeah, and kind of with that trend, Tennessee takes down Arkansas Pine Bluff 21-1. 16 hits, 1 error for the Tennessee Volunteers. That's wrong, man. That's wrong.
You just gotta cut some people some slack, you know. Cut some teams some slack.
What about you, Austin? Anything shoot out at you on Tuesday?
It was a bad day for the Aggies in Aggieland. You know, losing 6-5 to Abilene Christian, and down. You know, as of that point, 1-3 on the season. Just, you know, a tough day on Tuesday for them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that was kind of the headlines from Tuesday. Cooper, I'll let you take Wednesday because you're chomping at the bit to get to it. So.
Again, not one to compliment Auburn. I am known around many friend groups to be a tough Auburn hater, but they beat Alabama A&M 33-0. Like, that is just crazy. At what point do you just say, stop swinging? Just take the pitches and this game, you know, go get something to eat afterwards. They scored 14 runs in the fourth inning to make it 9-0. They got 5 in the third, and it's like, all right, yeah, that's a normal SEC versus small school baseball game. But then 14 runs in the bottom of the fourth. That means they had to bat around at almost twice. If it was just 14 home runs and 3 outs to get out of that inning, that's 17 batters. That's making it around twice. And I'm pretty sure they left some batters on. So everybody batted at least twice in that inning. And, you know, after that, it's just 4-5-4-1, finally to get to 33 runs off 27 hits.
One home run. One.
And still a normal college baseball time, 3 hours and 14 minutes. If you saw this in an MLB game, that time length would be like 5 hours if this was pros. But good old college baseball sped through a 33-run game in 3 hours and 14 minutes. So
good pitching.
One last tip of the cap to Auburn. When we get to the weekend games, I'm going to roast you, so enjoy it while you can.
That's too funny and honestly very disheartening for Alabama A&M. I'm going to run it back to Tennessee. Tennessee wins 14-6, which is another big blowout for them, which I thought was fairly interesting. Austin, anything good come out of Wednesday for you that catches your eye?
Well, one thing that really caught my eye, guys, is Ole Miss versus Arkansas State. I mean, you know, really come in and win 12-1 on Wednesday. I think we might have to be looking out for them. Keep our eyes open.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. We kind of talked about Ole Miss last week. But you're absolutely right. Ole Miss is going to be a tough beat. So switching gears, I believe, to Friday. Yeah, we're going to move to Friday. Cooper, I'll let you start us off once more with what's most likely going to be another Auburn take.
Probably another Auburn take. I was kind of assigned the Auburn beat for this section of the podcast, but they went to the Round Rock Classic and lost to Oklahoma. Finally lost, got their first loss to Oklahoma, 4-3. Normal baseball score, but what I want to look at is 12 hits for Oklahoma and 11 hits for Auburn. So a combined 23 hits, but only 7 runs. A lot of guys left on base, which honestly makes Auburn look a little bit more human, you know, after those Superman wins against small schools. You know, seeing how they played against Oklahoma, a team that I could probably compare to Alabama, it looks good. You know, they'll get some people on base, but they're not going to bring them home. I don't think we have anything to worry about that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I did get to catch some of this game on Friday. And, you know, Auburn is very talented early in the lineup, but they struggle late in the lineup. And, listen, that's – a lot of teams struggle with that. You know, Alabama struggles with that most nights. So, it is kind of weird to see that off a huge win, but it is interesting to see moving forward. I wanted to shift the focus down to Aggieland. Once again, we did just talk about them, but, you know, they were 1-3, like Austin said. They ended up winning two more games before their game on Friday. They go into the Round Rock Classic. And they beat Baylor, a good Baylor team, 12-4. Really good win for the Aggies. But, you know, that was just interesting to me, and that's what I think is so great about college baseball is the parity, right? Texas A&M being able to come out after being 500 and beat a really good Baylor team is quite interesting, and I think that's something we'll need to use moving forward. It's the fact that, again, it's COVID. Teams are going to lose, and they're going to be able to come back and win big games. Like, all you know, Auburn was here and ended up being pretty low at the end of the weekend, but it's just all parity. So I thought that was interesting, and I think everyone in the SEC needs to be watched because they're all good. Austin, what jumped out for you on Friday?
For sure, Brandon, and exactly what you're talking about. You know, we see a battle of the non-conference games. I've got two teams specifically that came out on top that I was really watching. You know, we just talked about Ole Miss and how strong they came out at the beginning of this season. Well, they dropped one to UCF on Friday, 3-2. You know, just kind of like what we're talking about. Of you never know on that day. You know, if your pitching is off, you know, there's just college baseball. And it can be, you know, so much difference between what kind of guys you got on the mound, just general feel of that day. Also, we have Tulane coming up and stepping up against Mississippi State 7-3. So that is definitely, you know, showing out and getting the win over Mississippi State for sure. You know, they're really interesting to see two of these games in particular of, you know, the smaller schools coming out and beating the SEC heavyweights.
One more.
Go ahead, Cooper.
One more lost highlight, Vandy. Andy lost.
Did I miss that?
They lost to Georgia State 4-2 on Friday. And what's the song from The Wizard of Oz? Rah, rah, the witch is dead. The witch is dead. I know it's one loss, but it's fun to see Vandy be human, you know, and drop a game to a Georgia State. So there is going to be a lot of parity in this season. And I'm liking our odds if we can get up to Nashville when we're hot and, you know, maybe Vandy's a little bit tired. So
sneak a couple out there.
Yeah.
I'm in for that. I did want to – we'll move to Saturday real quick, but I wanted to make sure we didn't miss one thing that I pointed out. That was kind of a nod to the early days of the podcast. But LSU did play Nichols again. And if you remember one of our early episodes last year, LSU had lost to Nichols. And there was probably a good 10 minutes of the podcast where Cooper and I were searching if Nichols was truly D1 in any sport, let alone baseball, which they did. So shifting to Saturday, that was the first thing I wanted to point out. LSU beats Nichols 14-0. Get revenge from last year. Congratulations, LSU. You avenged yourself.
Congratulations. A 14-0 win. You obviously heard our podcast last year. It was the second of two episodes for a COVID season, and you heard it. So
thank you. Coming off a doubleheader, too. That was the second game of their doubleheader.
Yeah, second game of a doubleheader, so congrats on that win.
And then the second thing I wanted to point out was, once again, Texas A&M, after struggle first couple of games of the season, they get another good win over Oklahoma, 8-1. Another 4-3. So I thought that was interesting. Like you said, Oklahoma's a very comparable team to Alabama. So this is a good scope. And obviously, like we've said before, this is college baseball right now. Never know what's going to happen. So, you know, Texas A&M is saying you have 4-3, and we're saying 7-1. I would say we're pretty much equal at this point. So it's really quite interesting this year. Cooper, what happened to stand out to you on Saturday?
The standout to me is Tennessee losing to Indiana State. You know, the Sycamores, home of Larry Bird. Just, you know, you're going to drop these games. I don't expect, like, these types of games. Like, I know we dropped one to UT Martin, but, you know, I'm not expecting every team in the SEC to do that, you know? So it's crazy to see teams like Tennessee and Vandy drop games to these really small schools.
Yeah, they dropped two games to Indiana State, actually.
They did.
Wow. Yeah, and like you said, it just goes to that point. There's so much parity this year. It really is. You know, it's really just a matter of, can your guys be the best guys out there on that day? And it really doesn't matter, you know, what the records say at this point. It's just who's going to be the best at 3 p.m. on Saturday afternoon, you know? So I think you're absolutely right. Austin, what kind of got in your head about on Saturday?
Then one thing I want to say kind of to y'all guys' point, you know, I think it makes baseball in late February, early March interesting, you know, to be able to watch these non-conference games and really not know what's going to happen with a lot of these teams that you would normally just kind of turn and look and wait for them to get to the SEC with one or two losses. You know, I think it's really adds value to the games around the conference to really be able to see hard-fought games this early on in the season. So I'm going to go with Clemson and South Carolina. Was actually went to extra innings, went into 11. And we got South Carolina over Clemson 3-2. I think South Carolina is looking pretty good. I mean, a hard fought weekend. If you look later on in the series, had another walk off win to win the series. So, you know, I think it's going to be a good year for the Gamecocks.
Yeah. South Carolina is one of those sneaky teams that, you know, when you think SEC baseball, they're definitely in your mind, but they don't jump out to you, but they're definitely one of the most more dominant programs in this conference. And I think people kind of forget that. So I think you're absolutely right. I got to see some of that game too. And South Carolina looks really good. Really, really good. So, and finally shifting to Sunday, there were a couple games on Sunday. Most of them got played Saturday due to some weather in the area, but we did have a lot of games on Sunday. And, you know, for me, what really kind of showed out for me was Missouri dropping the series to Omaha. That was really interesting. I know we don't really talk about Missouri all that often in baseball, but this was interesting. I mean, to see a team such as Omaha come in and not only win one game, but win the series was something that I really found interesting from Sunday, just kind of looking through and watching baseball on Sunday. It was one of those things where I was just like, man, really? Like, okay. So that was definitely what stood out to me. Cooper, what kind of jumps to your attention on Sunday?
A team that kind of, I think, yes, they won their series. They swept their series, actually, so we haven't mentioned them before yet. But Florida, they swept Samford, had a couple of big wins in this game, like an 18 win on Saturday. But just they're playing really well right now. They got a couple of people from my high school on their team, so that kind of hits close to home, hits close to the heart for Florida. So they're a team that's going to cause some worries and some anxiety come this SEC season. And I would not want to play Florida when they're on a hot day. You know, they're 6-2 right now, and those two losses are some really good close losses to a number 21 Miami team. So just, you know, stuff is happening down in Gainesville. So we can't sleep on them. We got to take the Gators seriously.
Yeah, you're absolutely right with that. You know, I haven't been able to see a lot of Florida this year, but you know, you keep telling about it and I keep seeing the results. So at a certain point, we have to accept that Florida is definitely a powerhouse. So Austin, did anything kind of jump out to you on Sunday in those kind of late games for the SEC?
Yeah, guys. And I just kind of want to touch on that Florida game, you know, to see Florida trailing in the beginning of that game to Samford, and, you know, kind of interesting. Got to give a shout out to the Bulldogs, SoCon, you know, coming in clutch from Birmingham, Alabama. To get within a run of Florida, you know, kind of speaks to the parity we've been talking about. It's very interesting, you know, to be able to sneak one out on them. I'm just going to go with Georgia, you know, guys. I mean, like, looking good against Garner Webb, 17-3. I mean, you know, I think they're definitely I'm thinking about the Gamecocks, and I'm thinking about the Bulldogs, really, you know, this year looking into the SEC for my predictions on who's really going to be a force in the league.
Yeah, I think you really can't go wrong with two of those candidates. Certainly can't go wrong with most of the candidates in the league. And one final thing, you know, we talked how Auburn's been on somewhat of this like roller coaster of a week, right? You know, scoring 33 runs and then losing two straight. They did come back on Sunday, and they did hand Texas A&M another loss to put them back at 500. But like I said, like we've been saying, parity, man, parity. And you know, as much as I want to jump on the bandwagon with you, Austin, and be like, yes, you know, Georgia and South Carolina are good. At this point, I don't even know. Who knows? Because one day Vanderbilt could come out and play Alabama and beat them 28-0 and no one bats an eye. And the next day, Alabama throws, you know, Dylan Smith and we win a 5-2 shootout with Bandy. So man, I don't know about this year. It's exciting and it's interesting.
I think that's fair for sure. And one note I will say, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this parity continues into SEC league play, you know, to really see if we're going to get this big variety when we actually get into these big heavy hitting games, or if this is kind of an anomaly we have just going to get some lesser opponents.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the question to ask with that. It'll definitely be interesting to see. Obviously, I would love some parity in the SEC. I mean, obviously, we want the SEC to be ranked, and I think they will regardless of what happens. But if this parity continues throughout the year, it would be quite interesting to see the seeding that comes down to the SEC tournament only by a couple. You know, if it does end up being this parity, we could see teams that are, you know, X and X, and there's one team has one last loss, and it's really tight at the end. I think that'd be really cool to see going into the SEC tournament. I think it'd be really cool to see to go into College World Series as well. So, you know, I kind of hope this parity continues. I think it'll be really interesting season if it does. But with that, this has been the Right Field Roundtable podcast. We thank you so much for listening every week. We will be back after this week's baseball. We will be talking more, looking ahead to the upcoming weeks, and hopefully looking into some more parity in the SEC and throughout college baseball. So once again, we appreciate you listening to the Right Field Roundtable. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.